Welcome to the Sunday Times Politics Weekly, where we unpack the week's big political stories. I'm Mike Siduma, and thanks for joining us. This week, we thought we should catch up on the build-up to arguably the major political event of the year, which is the ANC's elective conference taking place in December. Among other things, we look at the state of play in the provinces, as well as the names of some of the candidates which are bubbling to the top. Joining me for that conversation is Sunday Times Politics Editor, Sponwen Keshova, as well as William Gumede, who's the Associate Professor in the School of Governance at Wits University.
With immediate effect.
When people saw
us, and I quote, in 2 years' time, Eskom's problems will be a thing of the past. People won't even remember load shedding, unquote.
They put saliva on the paper.
I'm in charge. That's why these fools are running around here. I'm in charge.
And then they share that zone.
Point of order, Chairperson.
Order, Chairperson.
Point of order, ruling party by
order,
point of order.
Must step aside within 30 days.
No, I'm not going to apologize.
He has no brains whatsoever.
So the AC president was sabotaged again yesterday.
Well, sabotage, that can be
this
determined.
This is not a shit.
Can you please come
the point of order.
Welcome to the both of you. Let us start with you, Sibongiseni. Apart from electing a new party president, what does the conference do? What goes on its agenda?
Thank you so much for inviting me once again. That is why the many within the ANC get very irritated when you call the national conference an elective conference, because the conference is also a platform where the ANC members also get to discuss policy issues, and then whatever decision that is taken there, because it's the highest decision-making structure, the national conference, whatever decisions that are taken there are then binding. So when they discuss policy issues, that's where they determine policy for the party, which then gets reviewed mid-term, and then also goes to the policy conference and then back to the national conference. So the national conference is where very serious decisions are taken. And the most important ones are the direction that the party should take. And also the party also looks at its constitution. Sometimes when they go to conference, there are proposals to amend the constitution, and the only structure that can take those decisions, it is the national conference. Others who are aggrieved, Bramike, for an example, if Ismaka Shule tomorrow was to get expelled, he has an opportunity when the conference sits to actually appeal that decision, and then whatever decision is taken by the national conference of the ANC stands. So it is the highest decision making body, and whatever decision it takes, it's more powerful than the NEC that sits after every quarter.
William, you know, Sibongiseni has just outlined what, you know, very broad grassroots, what goes on the agenda of the ANC's conference. But I've heard a criticism about the quality of delegates who go to conference, whether they are able, all of them or most of them, to grapple with the many different policy issues that need to be decided on. And then reversing back, because that conference also elects members of the NEC, to say even the NEC has become weakened over the years. You know, if you compare the conference, the profile of previous conferences, whether it's Mafikeng or the one in Echekwini or, you know, any of those places previously, say under Mandela and Thabo Mbeki, that the quality was much, much higher. The intellectual and political quality was much, much higher. What's your assessment, you know, of the current state of affairs, you know, in the profile of the NEC, as well as, you know, historically, of late, of the conference itself?
Thank you for having me again on the program. You know what, we've seen a decline in the quality of ANC leaders over the last decades. Now, if one compares, you know, the ANC NEC, for example, to the 1994 ANC NEC, That ANC, we had professional people there, medical doctors, lawyers, and so on. So not necessarily that, you know, that professionals will make a better quality candidates, but still, you know, it's a big, big difference. So I think the ANC is really, the conferences last couple of years, the ANC has really been poorly serviced by delegates that go there that unfortunately don't, you know, don't are not quality in terms of ideas, in terms of policy knowledge, in terms of debates, and then also the content of the policies themselves have been absolutely poor. Now, most of the conferences the past couple of years have been dominated by leadership struggles, and unfortunately, I think this one now December will be again. Be a leadership struggle instead of looking at a quality policy. Now, of course, you know, the reason why South Africa is in a crisis that we are is because the governing party has been delivering poor leaders, you know, from branch level upwards to the National Executive Committee. I mean, that really is because in development, any country that has developed from a developing country to industrial country after the Second World War, the big thing or the critical factor has been the quality of leadership in governing parties. So we've seen a quality, you know, a decline, a significant decline of the quality of leaders and also the quality of policy discussions at the ANC conference since the party came to power in 1994.
I want us to come back to the whole mechanism of leadership selection later on in our conversation. But if I may come back to you, and we look at the actual physical or administrative preparations for conference, by all accounts, it looks like there are serious problems at what is supposed to be the nerve center of the organization that is supposed to be organizing conference and making preparations at Lutuli House. Particularly Secretary General's office. What is going on there?
Yes, Pramaik, there are serious problems in the offices supposed to be running the ANC. So what happens that first, the Secretary General, who is like your CEO of the organization, was suspended last year after he refused to step aside. So he's now shouting from outside. He was then replaced by his deputy, who is JC Duarte. But earlier this year, JC Duarte fell ill, we are told, and she has not been able to adequately perform her duties. And then the NWC, which is the National Working Committee, then decided to then assign the Treasurer General, Paul Mashatile, the task of acting in that position. We are talking about someone who has his other full-time position, which is to raise funds for the party. And we know that that portfolio, you need someone who's very much full-time there because of the problems the party is facing, failing to pay salaries and things like that. So you have that crisis in that office. So what has happened is that They have tried to get other leaders to get involved. We are told Nomvula Makunyane, who's the head of organizing, has been very much involved in the running of that office. But yeah, they've got that capacity challenge right now, which has really, as you would expect, if the main guy who's supposed to be running the office is not there, the deputy is not there, it's bound to create a crisis. But yeah, because that office, Pramaik, is very important because that office is the one that that runs the audits of branch ANC branches, and end of the day is the office, is that process, the audit process that actually determines who goes to the national conference in December. But there are other challenges, Bramaik, which are out of their hands in a way of branches where they when they try to meet, they fight. We've seen that in KwaZulu-Natal. We've seen that in the Eastern Cape as well. They have other challenges of their leaders that are being killed, especially councillors. So it has not really been a smooth start to preparing for the national conference. Mm.
Yeah, William, not a good reflection on a party that's supposed to be running not just itself, but the whole country, is it?
I mean, it's a terrible situation. I mean, it also just tells you about the ANC itself. I mean, that it cannot actually run, firstly, its own party organization. But secondly, I think we may see that the ANC's December conference may be the most symbolic conference in the party's history, because there is no staff, because the staff haven't been paid. They're unenthusiastic to help. No general secretary to run the office. Then also, I mean, at the branch level, I think there's going to be a lot of chaos and violence as people to be delegates, because if you become a delegate, it is an important entry possibly into government and patronage and so on. But I also foresee that if the conference is chaotic, we may see quite a lot of core challenges of people who have been elected or challenges of who should go as delegates. I mean, we've seen it at the last ANC conference, but I think this time we actually may even see more of these core challenges, and even we may even have last minute challenges that block the conference itself from actually going ahead.
Yes, okay, let's go into the provinces, you know, because often, you know, it's said that, you know, this province wants this, that it is like the voting goes along provincial lines. But maybe let's look at the state of affairs in the provinces themselves. Shall we start with KZN? Which seems to be like a bellwether for what may or may not occur.
Yes, Pramek. So there are about four provinces or five that are really crucial in the ANC when you go to conference, and those are the provinces with the biggest number of delegates that they send there, and KZN is one of them, and KZN, Pramike, is a bit complicated this time around, because in the last two conferences of the ANC, KZN has come to those conferences as a voting bloc, and that's where really Zuma's power lay in KZN. So it was his stronghold from Limpopo, from Polokwane conference to Mangaung. Those are really That's the province that really carried him. But since then, the province has been divided, not in two, but in many pieces. So, and it could be traced to their failure to get a KZN leader to the top six, and they don't have that kind of a leader who really everyone looks up to. So they are serious challenges there with the leadership of the chairman, who's also the premier, who is going to get challenged when the province goes to the elective conference in June, the latest. So the focus is on eThekwini, which is due to elect new leaders, where Zandile Gumede, who we know is a very staunch Zuma supporter and is well within the RET, is going to try and go back as the regional chairman. But what we find there is that even within her own faction, There are different factions, because there are people who are saying, no, maybe let's bring in someone else, maybe let's put Zandile to the PEC. She will be up against the speaker of the eThekwini Metro. His name is Thabang Nyawose. Nyawose is linked to the CR campaign, and he was Ramaphosa's backer even way back in Nazareth. So all eyes are on eThekwini, but with the other region that is important, KZN has already had its conference and elected new leaders, which is Moses Mabhida. Moses Mabhida includes the Midlands, people, areas like Pietermaritzburg. So that region has already elected new leaders. So the focus now is on eThekwini. And then after eThekwini, then all eyes would be on the provincial conference, where we expect Sizikalala to be challenged. They've been throwing a lot of names around, including the name of AmaZulu chairman Sandile Zungu, who has confirmed that he's standing, then withdrew his name, and then there was another report in KZN this week that he's back in the race. So it's going to be very interesting. So KwaZulu-Natal is one of the provinces that we need to look at. And if there is a challenge for the presidency, I don't expect KwaZulu-Natal to come as a voting bloc, as a united bloc, voting for whatever candidate. I expect them to come to go to the national conference, if it's here in Gauteng or anywhere else, very much divided.
So KZN has got a candidate problem that they don't have a clearly identified candidate. What about the other province, Gauteng?
In Gauteng, although there might not be as united as someone like David Makura would want them to be, they are far from being a KZN in a way that there are two dominant factions that are fighting in Gauteng. So in Gauteng, you have a faction that is aligned to David Makura, but which supports Banyaza Lesufi to take over from him as the provincial chairman. Then you have another faction that supports the MEC of local government and housing, Lebogang Maile, on the other side. And the battles as in KwaZulu-Natal, is the same here in Gauteng. They are not really linked to national politics, but it's local dynamics. So it's been a long-standing battle that dates back to the last conference where Lebogang Maile was beaten by Banyaza Lesufi for the position of chairman. So it is the replay of that battle, but now taking on the position of provincial chairman. So yeah, that's how Gauteng. But in terms of whether the Gauteng supports Cyril or doesn't support Cyril, here it's a bit simpler than in KZN in a way that although we have the RET faction here, Pramike, it is not as dominant, and the current candidates, none of them is running on a RET faction or a CR faction. Both Banyaza Lesufi and Lebogang Maile have not come out to say whether they oppose or support the president, as we have seen in other provinces.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned initially four provinces that you said are critical, that we need to watch, which are influential. So you mentioned KZN, we've just been to Gauteng. Eastern Cape is one of them?
Eastern Cape is definitely one of them, Pramike. But Eastern Cape, we are so used to them being divided. They were divided in Polokwane, they were divided in Mangaung. And I expect them to be only divided on local issues this time around, Pramike. Because what we've picked up is that although there is Babalo Madikizela who's challenging the current chairman Oscar Mabuyane, but it does not mean because Babalo is challenging Oscar that is opposed to the current president. What we've picked up is that the Eastern Cape, like KwaZulu-Natal, will lobby other provinces for a leader that comes from the Eastern Cape to occupy a top six position, but not necessarily the presidency. So their names have been thrown around. The name of Gwede Mantashe, who hails from that province, is from a village called Kala and is a very proud Kala resident. He is one of the names that are being thrown around in the province that the province would want him to be retained in his position. But that also depends on his relationship with the leadership of the Eastern Cape, whichever faction that wins there. How does it relate to them? Are these the leaders that believe in his leadership? Or else they will also look for other names. So that's what we're expecting to come out of the Eastern Cape, that whoever wins will not come out and say, let's have a new president. What they will push for is someone from that province to occupy top six position.
Okay. And the fourth province to watch?
The fourth province to watch, Pramike, is Limpopo. Limpopo is very special, Pramike, because we were always told that the premier has had a fallout with the president, and that the president is only supported by the secretary of Limpopo. But you remember what happened then during the January 8th events. It was the premier, who's the chairman, who came out and said the second term for the president, which now means that they have stolen whatever tickets that the other grouping had going to their conference, because the other grouping was said to be a Ramaphosa supporting grouping. But now the chairman has come out to say, we back the president second term. And now it means that whatever differences that are going to take place there and play themselves out at the conference are going to be local issues. Whether someone like the provincial treasurer there, who's accused in the VBS scandal, who's said to be really the strong man there. Whether his faction wins or the faction that is led by the provincial secretary wins, but what we know that Limpopo has come out and using the statements of the chairman to say that they back the second term of President Cyril Ramaphosa. But the other province to watch, is also Mpumalanga. We remember this week, early this week, the president visited Mpumalanga. And it's a province that is scheduled to hold its provincial conference next week, starting next week, Friday. And what we have been told is that there is a serious talking that is taking place there between different factions, and they are trying to pull one slate together that will be endorsed by everyone that will be unchallenged. That was the news that came out of Mpumalanga last week. But since the visit of the president, we are hearing that that plan might be in jeopardy, because the convener of Mpumalanga, Mandla Ndlovu, who's also in that uncontested slate as the new chairman, sort of like endorsed Cyril Ramaphosa's second term. And we are told that there are people who may not be as excited as Ndlovu is by whatever he said there at that meeting. So you know, a week is a long time in politics, and between now and then, maybe there might be a contest. Maybe someone might say, we no longer want Ndlovu, we want someone else. And it is, as I was saying, it's a province that we need to look closely at, because at the last conference in Nazareth, they came out with huge numbers. I think they were the second or the third biggest province to send delegates there. So it's one of those provinces where we need to monitor, because it's also the home of the deputy president, who has not said anything, who has not said, I'm available or I'm not available, I want to be president or I want to remain deputy. So he's the guy who plays his cards very close to his heart, to his chest, and we need to keep an eye on Mpumalanga as well.
William, just on the back of that, you know, that the current deputy president is playing his cards close to his chest, and he's not declaring whether he's going to be standing or not. This idea in the ANC that people don't declare, they don't stand, they don't campaign openly. Where does it come from? Why does the ANC discourage individuals from standing as leaders and articulating what they stand for?
I mean, you know, that strategy came from when the ANC was in exile. So when it was an exile movement in opposition, it tried to, you know, to have a consensus. It tried not to have contested elections in order to keep the unity of the party. So it's almost, you know, where leaders were pre-elected and then just, you know, conference only endorsed them in order to not to have competition. I mean, just think about this. I mean, the competition, for example, at the last conference, or the conference when it was between Jacob Zuma and Thabo Mbeki, was the first openly contested election of the ANC for almost 4 or 5 decades. So that was really the first time. And unfortunately, in a democracy, one can't have this kind of way of electing leaders. You know, elections should be in the party, should also be open. And be transparent so that people know, for who and what are they voting for. But for me, I think the key thing in terms of is really the scrambling behind the scenes to try to get a competitor to Ramaphosa, because right now Ramaphosa seems to be, there's no competitors to him, and on that basis he will be re-elected. But there's a push, particularly in KwaZulu-Natal, they are trying to get Zweli Mkhize to stand for the presidency, to compete. So I think towards the end, maybe just the months and weeks before the conference, we may see Zweli Mkhize or even Mabuza. I mean, he's keeping, of course, his cards close to his chest, but I mean, he is already, last year before the local government election, he declared that he is healthy enough to contest for the leadership, and then he was shouted down immediately by the ANC at the time. But I think if Zweli Mkhize stands as for the presidency to compete against Ramaphosa, it's very likely that the current deputy president, David Mabuza, will also put his hat forward to compete.
Mm-hmm. They just very quickly, William, the idea that, assuming that Cyril Ramaphosa is standing, although he hasn't said so, it's implied that he is standing. The idea that the leaders don't articulate what they stand for, does that not amount to delegates voting blind? In other words, irrespective of who you want, even people who want a second term for Cyril Ramaphosa, or who want a Zweli Mkhize, or whoever else, or even a woman delegate or woman deputy president that has been spoken about. How do they decide who they want if the people are remaining mum about everything, just about?
And that essentially is really at the heart of the problem of our democracy, because within the ANC, the governing party, there's no open contestation. So people don't stand on a platform of policy so that the members of the party know what they stand for. So people just vote essentially on, last minute a candidate puts up his or her hand, or the last couple of years slates around a certain position. Now, and that essentially undermines our democracy, because what it means is that people don't get elected based on a set of policies. And even then, when they become the party leader and then they become the government leader, they never had to show what they stand for. So we get presidents, where it's a Jacob Zuma and even a Ramaphosa, where we don't know, when they got elected in the party, we didn't know what they stood for. And when they become the president, we don't know what they stand for. And that's really, as is a weakness, as a real big weakness at the heart of our politics. And of course, also it goes to our electoral system also, because our electoral system is what we call a close party system. Candidates don't, the party doesn't have to declare a party, their candidates to the voters or even to their members and so on, which means by the time we've got national elections after party elections, the citizens, may not even know the candidates or what they stand for. So it's a weakness within the party system, but also a weakness clearly within our national electoral system also.
Okay. Yes, Mwangonke, the last word must go to you. There is a general assumption that President Cyril Ramaphosa is a shoo-in for re-election in December. Is that overstating the issue?
It's really not overstating the issue. There are people within the ANC who are campaigning based on that. There are people who are crisscrossing the country who may want to be deputy president or want to be secretary general, but their campaign is based on informing or lobbying whoever they are talking to say, for the ANC to be united and strong towards 2024, you don't need divisions. And what they are preaching is that when you challenge the president, you are creating further division within the party, and you're going to weaken the ANC going to the 2024 elections. Whether that or how that message lands to whoever they're talking to, it remains to be seen. But what we've also witnessed, Pramaik, is that there is not one candidate who has really started a campaign that is fun, that is really finding a voice within the grassroots, and that you can really tell that this campaign is gaining ground. We were told that Lindiwe Sisulu was running a campaign. She wrote a controversial opinion piece. She was in the news for a few weeks, but that has all died down. In the past few weeks, we had the name of Zweli Mkhize being mentioned, but that campaign has really, really not caught fire. And what we have seen now is pictures of Zweli Mkhize and Lindiwe Sisulu appearing in different events together, which may be them sending a sign to their supporters that actually we can work together. But Pramaik, is also too early to say whether ANC branches are going to choose another name to challenge the president, because these events that I was talking about, the regional conference in Etegwini, the provincial conference in Gauteng, in the Eastern Cape, in Limpopo, in Mpumalanga, are really where party members get together and discuss these issues. But in the past, Pramaik, if you remember, Cyril Ramaphosa's campaign started way early. We already knew around this time that Cyril Ramaphosa was going to face Dr. Nkosazana Dlamini-Zuma in Nasrec. Around this time in Mangaung, we already knew that Kgalema Motlanthe was standing. But around this time in the, ahead of Polokwane, we already knew that Jacob Zuma was going to challenge President Mbeki. And this time around, it's really not clear. The situation is very fluid, and as I've given the examples of Sisulu and Mkhize, it changes all the time. Next month we may be talking about another name, and it's still about how many months? 7 months.
Yeah, just the other side of 7 months.
Yeah,
you're right. But let's wrap it up here for this week on the Sunday Times Politics Weekly. And I'd like to thank our guests, Sibongile Bonke-Shoba, who's the Sunday Times Politics editor, as well as William Kumete, who's associate professor at the School of Governance at Wits University. And for a podcast of this conversation, you can go to iono.fm, Spotify, Google Podcast, or wherever you prefer to source your podcast. I'm Ike Siluma. Until next time, do remember to stay safe, sanitize, wear the mask, and avoid crowded places if you can.